And that directly leads to the pipeline. From there, those ones that raise their hand go to sales. And we're looking at like qualified sales opportunities from there and like the pipeline from marketing from that. And so typically like over the past four summits, like seven figures in like pipeline.
Not in closed one,
but certainly overall pipeline. So it's these events have worked really well for us.
Welcome to the Show Me the Data podcast by LeadSec, where every week we get marketing and sales leaders from fast-growing B2B tech companies to share specific tactics they use to drive revenue for their business. The best part, they share the exact metrics and data points behind each of their tactics. I'm your host, Tukan Das, the co-founder and CEO of LeadSec. See you there.
Hello, everyone. My guest today is Tyson Wickfall. Tyson's the head of marketing at Breakthrough. Welcome to the show, Tyson.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So to begin with, Tyson, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do at Breakthrough?
Absolutely. In a nutshell, if you really boil it down, we help PT, so private practice PT specifically, physical therapists, grow their practice. And the way we do that is really end-to-end. So we help them market directly to the consumer in their area. I think with physical therapy, a lot of people are unaware of really the benefits of physical therapy. So physical therapists have a difficult time marketing directly to the consumer. In fact, it wasn't always possible for them to go. It's called direct access. So it was all through physician referrals and hospital referrals. And so when they actually got the opportunity to market directly to the consumer, it was like, hey, how do we do it? So we help them with that. And then we have a software that does all the marketing automation for them as well. So we basically take people from unaware, build demand for their practice and their services, and then take them to loyal patient.
Would you guys say then you guys are a marketing automation system for physical therapists?
That is, in a nutshell, very core what we do. But in addition to, like, if you think of kind of a niche down HubSpot, we also do the actual advertising for them as well. So it's sort of a hybrid.
All right. Okay, cool. That's interesting. Now let's talk about your marketing strategy. So it looks like even before you join, one of the big channels for your marketing process was events, event marketing, trade shows and things. And then last year, around this time, or a little earlier, COVID happened. So obviously, marketing events or physical events are gone out of the window. So you have to adapt. Can you walk us through the process? What would you guys do to adapt?
Yeah, and just disclaimer as I jump in. So I joined Breakthrough in July, so sort of amidst COVID. So when we were first initially adapting, I wasn't kind of part of that process, but I can certainly speak to it and speak to the history. So like you mentioned, big part of the success that Breakthrough's had is it's been with events. And so prior to COVID, events looked like we had a quarterly event for customers that was in a different city, typically every quarter. We also had more of these kind of smaller session events. We call them, boot camps. We'd have some exclusive events where we invite kind of a mix of customers and non-customers, so prospects. And so we'd have several events every single quarter. It was a big part of like the growth strategy and the success for Breakthrough, and really built a community, a very thriving kind of PT private practice community. And then COVID hit, right? So I think it was both for our customers, kind of a scary moment in that a lot of them had to either reduce capacity in their clinics or they had to stop actually practicing for a few weeks or a month when lockdowns hit, depending on the states. So in April, we did our first quarterly event. So we had a GrowthX quarterly virtual event. And then we went from doing our annual summit to doing a quarterly summit. And so I think the big challenges were initially is kind of like, hey, how many people are going to attend this event? We serve a market that's not necessarily very, very tech savvy. So doing a virtual event, what system do we use? And what is attendance going to look like? What's really this community aspect? We have engagement. How do we foster that online? So those are some of the challenges that we had initially to work through. And so, I mean, the first virtual event they did was a big success. I think it and has been since. I think it was captured lightning in a bottle in a way where the market was very much, we need help right now. What's going to happen? And we kind of positioned ourselves during that time as thought leadership. And hey, we can help you navigate these restrictions and things of that nature.
Understood. So before we go into the nitty gritties of organizing a virtual event, Tyson, would you say, roughly 50% of your demand comes from events, or historically has had come from events. Would you say that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say, yeah, historically it has. Today, okay. I wouldn't say it's quite 50% anymore. If you include like all the webinars that we do, things like that, it's probably still at 50%. Now there's other avenues as well, but it's certainly a big vehicle. I think it's safe to say, if you include webinars in there as parts of events, it's probably 50% of the demand that we build.
Cool. All right. So you join in July, and they've already, COVID has already happened, and it's already moved. Your strategy has already moved to virtual events. When was the first virtual event that was organized after you joined?
It would have been. I started, and I think the week after we had our July event. So it was the Q4, okay. Q1, and then this past event we had in April for Q2.
Got it. So can you walk us through, then, Tyson, the process of organizing a virtual event? At a high level, what are the main key steps that goes on when organizing an event like this?
Yeah, I think you start with any good market, you start with your customer in mind. So what is it that the customer wants to know? Like we typically theme our virtual events around practice growth, specifically for private practice PT. So what are the topics that they want to hear? So typically we'll ask a customer base, or we'll ask prospects, kind of what are they looking to learn? And so we theme it around that. And then it's around who are the best speakers for these topics. And so we have a pool and a list of speakers that we've worked with in the past. We have an amazing events manager on our team who coordinated of all our in-person, and she coordinates all the logistics of the virtual as well. And so then it's lining up the calendar for the day. So once we have our topics ironed out, we start getting into a flow of every Friday morning, we have a meeting with a few key stakeholders about kind of what are the topics, where are we progressing with these. And a big thing, like right off the bat, like the actual coordination of things, like consider it's going to take whatever, if you're new to it, whatever you think it's going to take to coordinate speakers, like, you know, add 3x that. And that's probably what it's going to take to line it up, give them everything that they need, and have them really making sure they show up in time or not canceling, things of that nature. That's the first, is lining that up. And then from there, you have that calendar. Then we start working on the promotional calendar for it. We've gotten into a pretty good rhythm with this.
Got it. So it's a theme-based event, and you're using quite smart. You're talking to your customers to figure out what are the main challenges, and from there, you come up with the themes. And is it a one-day event typically?
Yeah, for us, it's a one-day, 5 or 6 hour event.
Okay. And you mentioned there is it's a dedicated event manager that's sort of doing the follow-up and lining up the speakers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't consider it another way. I think if you're doing a smaller event, but certainly if you're going to do the event, it has to be a core accountability for someone.
I was just going to say, because it's not easy to pull that off. So off the speakers, Tyson, and you said you guys have a list of, you know, speakers that you've worked with before. Are these thought leaders in the space, or are these old customers or existing customers or prospects?
It's good to have a mix. And we typically, in the past, we used to have like a keynote. We've kind of gotten away from that. So typically this is primarily like kind of goodwill. We've got a lot of relationships. So it's a mix of thought leaders in specifically within PT, as well as customers that have had success with our platform, but are talking on a specific area. So like for us, it's all themed practice growth. So we have ones on successfully exiting, so selling your practice, just increasing EBITDA. We have other ones on kind of hiring personnel. So we think of practice growth as the marketing side of it. There's the practice management, your personnel, your finance, and those are two big components of it. And we typically have those as topics.
Okay, cool. So now you have got your speakers, you have got your topics lined up. Let's talk about the other half, which is getting or targeting people to attend, like the attendees. What's the process there? Like, how do you go about driving people to sign up for an event?
Yeah, so I think a big thing right off the bat, like once we have our events lined up, is the low-hanging fruit. So you're already doing certain marketing activity, whether you're gating, ungating, but let's assume you're gating and you've got thank you pages. So on these pages, like what are you presenting to them on the thank you page? Someone downloads a piece of content. What's their next step? We typically right there, we'll just seed it with, hey, we have this event coming up, where it's just a one-click registration from that. We've already got their information. They can click and register for that. So it's, we're the angles that we can just dump, kind of add it here and there, where it's just low-hanging fruit, where it's not costing us any additional money. We're just kind of maximizing value on the lead we've already generated. So we start with that. And we see typically on thank you pages, we see about like a 20% conversion to another action. Nice. So we optimize towards that as well. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty big email list over the years. We've built, you know, 15,000 plus lists.
Oh, wow.
And so that's gold for us. I mean, we kind of actively send newsletters and content to this list. So that's a big portion of the registrants from there. And makes sense. From there, we're typically sending emails. Like we've got one that comes from a thought leader. That's one of our co-founders that sits inside the company. We have more of your ones, HTML looking ones, templated ones that come from events. And then we've got a few other people in the company that will send them out. It's all automated. It's all through HubSpot, but ultimately different events that we'll run through. And then we'll typically about 4 weeks out of the event, and that's when we'll go into market with ads. So typically for us, it's paid social, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Yep. We drive a lot with Facebook, actually. Fewer with LinkedIn, but still typically drive a fair amount with that.
Yeah.
And then your normal retargeting. But we take it in waves. So typically when we announce the event, we start off with very broad ads, like what it is, who it's for, what's in it for them. We kind of go through, we just kind of frame what the event is. And then the next week you get into specific sessions. So if we've got six speakers, we're typically doing an interview. Similar to this, you might hop on Zoom, do a quick 3-minute interview, actually talk about what the session is going to be. And then we'll run those as ads, we'll run those in emails. And then we kind of end up going through that flow, testing one-click registration, things of that nature.
Awesome. So your own list, the thank you page for conversion on your website, and then paid ads to drive people. Very good. So now, and how long before, like how much ahead of time do you start the promotions and the marketing for an event?
Because we do it quarterly, these events quarterly, we start 4 weeks before. So it's ends up being 4 weeks before, then we take, what would that be? We take roughly 8 weeks off from promoting the virtual event and then we go back into it. So if we were to do these yearly, we would definitely have, we'd allocate a larger budget to it. We would start promoting sooner, but since they're quarterly, it's just a rhythm we get into every quarter.
Makes sense. Do you ever do any kind of cold email marketing, Tyson, to drive people, or is it all paid ads and opted in subscribe?
Nothing truly cold. There's other things that go into the promotion. Like there's partners that promote to their lists, of that. Okay. We typically have sponsors. So there's other angles, but typically it's our email list and some of our paid ads that we're driving most of.
And these, and might be a dumb question, these events are free to attend, right? Or do they have to register?
They're free.
They're free. Cool. And you said you get sponsors too, like other people that are targeting PT folks?
Yeah, we typically have about four to six sponsors at every single event. And then we have a partnership manager at the company that manages sponsorships, but ultimately they'll present as well. They typically get a smaller segment where they'll just go and they'll present in between sessions.
I see.
They're listed as sponsors as well. And they'll typically promote the event for us as well.
Huh. So that's interesting. So that would almost pay for the cost of the whole marketing and the event cost, like through the sponsorship, correct? That's very
smart. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So now let's talk about a specific event that you oversaw, Tyson, after you joined. Can you talk a little bit about what was the theme of that event?
Yeah, so we could talk. I mean, we had an event last Friday. We had an event. The Practice Growth Virtual Summit.
And so
ultimately, you know, topics range from, you know, valuation. We had people. We had an attorney that does a lot of exits for practices. He came in and spoke. We had really on practice value, this one, and growing EBITDA. So overall practice growth. And then in terms of promotion, we started about 4 weeks before.
Sure.
I could run you through the metrics if you want to, like.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So in terms of ultimately, you know, typically we look at leading, lagging, and balance metrics. But, you know, if we dive into kind of on a day-to-day, a week-to-week, what we're looking at from a virtual event standpoint, it's more metrics than that. So typically we're looking, of course, you're looking at registrants, right? But we typically, we've got a core customer segments that we have. Like we have three main personas that we we sort of target that fit within these segments. And that's what we're looking at. How many registrants do we have from those segments? Anyone can attend that's PT, but ultimately, you know, is it the folks that we want to be attend? And then we're looking to really drive attendance rate. So a lot of the focus of what we do is for driving that. So, I mean, typically with whatever event management software you're using is going to have your kind of out of the box confirmation emails. But for us, we're looking to kind of dial that up. So we've done everything from, we have other confirmation emails that go out from actual people on the team through HubSpot, not just our event management software. We also on thank you pages, we make it very easy to add to calendar or share the event on social media. And then also kind of leading up to the event, we send reminders before every session that the certain session's going live. And so attendance rate's a big one that we look at. And attendees, what's our cost per attendee? That's one of like the balance metrics that we're looking at. Are we driving that down ultimately? And then from there, you kind of go into, we typically have a CTA at the summit. We leverage polls a lot for these CTAs. Like if they want to learn more, they want to hear from sales in that respect.
Yeah.
Typically seeing like a 15% of those that attend end up sort of saying, hey, we want to learn more about what you have to offer. And we've optimized towards that as well. And that directly leads to pipeline. From there, those ones that raise their hand go to sales. And we're looking at like qualified sales opportunities from there and like the pipeline from marketing from that. And so typically like over the past four summits, like seven figures in like pipeline.
Not enclosed one,
but certainly overall pipeline. So it's these events have worked really well for us. And so those are some of like the high level metrics.
Those are great metrics. I just wanted to unpack a few of these. So in a typical event, like the one, how many registrants would you aim for to sign up?
Yeah. So in the beginning, like right after COVID hit, we had well over 1,000 registrants. So that kind of became this benchmark for us. But since then that's, it was kind of lightning in a bottle with like kind of shock and waves in the industry. Yeah. So we're typically aiming for at least 600 registrants for the event.
Okay. So 600 registrants. And what percentage of them would you say, Tyson, are these the right fit personas that do sign up?
Yeah. So typically right fit is about 60% of registrants are the right fit. And then we're going through.
Okay.
It's interesting, right fit typically, and these 95% are physical therapists that are registering, like are targeting, nice. Like we're not getting, you know, chiropractic offices and others that are registering. But then when we get in, we're typically looking at practice sizes over $1 million in revenue minimum. And we're looking at, these are SMBs, right, for the most part. Yeah. And so, you know, most of the market is in that like less than four clinicians or licenses in the practice. And so naturally you're getting a lot of the registrants that are under that. So we typically aim for at least 50%, but over 60% registrants being what we call relatively workable.
So if there's 600 registrants and you said about 15% of them would then, you know, book them or want to learn more, like become an SQL. So about like 90 leads for your sales team to talk to potentially and every event.
Yeah, it ends up being a little less than that because then we get factored attendance rate into that.
That's true.
So we typically at an event like this, we'll see at least 50 people say yes. And then there's a subset of that. Like you get your 25, 30 that are in that kind of core customer demo.
So one question is out of the 600, how many of these come from your 15,000 subscriber list? Like the people that are already...
So yeah, we're it depends on the event. This past one, it was roughly 55% come from our email list, and then the rest
others
come
are
from
net new,
either net new from paid or partnerships.
Amazing, cool. So this is very, very good, Tyson. There's this whole funnel. So in out of those leads that you generate, then sales follows up, and as you said, seven figure in pipeline generated. And that's already from the event that happened last Friday?
No, this is from the past, past four events.
Got it.
In this particular event, it's typically, we do like a quarter of that at each event.
Yeah.
But the things for these are relatively, for us, like we're in a very niche market. So I know if some people listening might be, oh, that's not a ton of registrants and attendees, but we're in a small subset, primarily trying to drive towards the larger practices in that to attend. And so we're sort of niche down. But then in terms of, I'm sort of lost my train of thought here, but it's been a big driver for us, and they're very relatively inexpensive to run because it's from a CAC perspective, it's one of the best things we can do.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done events where you have participated in someone else's event, like sponsored and spoken at other events, or is it mostly you guys hosting it?
Yeah, it's mostly us hosting. We have spoken at other events. Typically mm-hmm. webinars will have either one of our co-founders have gone and spoken. And in the past, I think we've been a part of other events. But since COVID, we haven't really been much beyond webinars and being someone on a webinar.
Cool. So now let's wrap this up then, Tyson. Let's say a company, a B2B SaaS company, they have a pretty niche market or any market, and they're thinking of hosting an event, their own event where they get speakers and something, and in a virtual way. What are certain things that they should look out for? You know, you mentioned, you know, 600 registrants might be a small number, but I think it's a decent number. It's a pretty big number for your target audience. Like, what are the certain things that they should look out for when they're thinking of hosting their first virtual event?
Yeah, I think you kind of start with why, you know, what's the reason? I think there's so many companies doing virtual events now. Drift's got a certification in virtual events. And so I think it's, you know, it's, oh, we've got to do a virtual event. So like, what's the reason? Like, what's the end goal? And then is this beneficial to the customer? Can the customer walk away from the event? Never hear from a sales rep on your end and be really happy with what they learned. You know, if you can answer yes, then move forward. If not, it's like, you know, there's no point in putting on the event. So for us, big thing is thought leadership. So it's like, what's the angle? Is there a certain category that you're trying to kind of own, or a niche of a category? Is that going to be the theme? So start there. Big thing is who's owning it internally. Like, what's the accountability for us? Like, this doesn't happen without our events manager. Just doesn't. And so like, who's the person that's going to be accountable for it? So it's, you know, what platform are you going to use to deliver from there? And then sort of what's the promotional strategy? Start building that out. Like, and, you know, start with the end in mind. Like, what are you looking for from an attendee standpoint? And then work your way backwards to kind of what the budget you think you need for that.
From a head of marketing perspective, Tyson, do you, like, when you're setting, if you had to set one North Star metric, would you look at attendees or registrants or attendees or pipeline generated?
Yeah, for this, I would say the right attendees. So whatever that audience is for you, the right attendees, because it's great that the pipeline that we get from it, but ultimately the goal of the virtual event is more downstream and long-term. So it's like the thought leadership we're building. And then because of that, the demand that we're building in the space for the product, which is, I think if you're looking at just the amount of people that you move all the way through to sales from an event, then you're going to do the wrong things during the event.
That makes sense. Cool. So final question then, you know, outside of the event that you guys hosted, what has been a good virtual event that you attended as a customer or a prospect and you walked away saying, you know what, this was solid?
Yeah, I enjoyed the RevGrowth virtual summit. What was that on this April 6th, I think it was. So
was it by Drift?
By Drift, yeah. Mm. So I thought that was well done. So that was a good recent one.
Very good. Cool. Well, this has been great, Tyson. Thank you so much for sharing these insights. We have thought about doing a virtual event, but I'm like, we're not big enough to be doing an event of our own. We have done webinars, but this gives me ideas and hopes and some great metrics. I'm pretty sure this would do the same for our audience too. But again, thank you so much, Tyson.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Cool.